Kia ora, welcome to Faith Matters. What a beautiful day it is out there today. It's glorious, and we are going to head into, I think, a glorious discussion today too. We've got Denise in the studio with me, and we're going to put some music on and think about the things that we're going to talk about today, some God chat. So if you're joining us, welcome, and let's get into it. Stand in your love.
Darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I
That was Bethel Music and Josh Baldwin, Stand in Your Love. That was live, so it was really nice. So welcome to our segment on the show today on Faith Matters, and we're going to have some God chats and unpack some things, and I'm just going to see if I can, There we go. I couldn't hear myself, Denise. There I am.
That's right. You're still there.
I am here. So let's get into it. Your blog this week was called Speak Life. We've actually got a song on with Toby Mack called Speak Life. We're going to play that after we've done some chatting about this. But, our words and our language have a big impact on us, Denise, and how we respond to the world around us, how we see ourselves, and the language we use can, well, like it says, we can either speak life or we can speak death over something, you know. Mm-hmm. We can actually destroy something in a moment. Yep. Or we can give room for growth and change. So maybe lead us into the blog a little bit this week. Yes, you're looking
well,
at me like,
yes,
whatever,
very
okay.
Good.
Well, I thought we'd start at the bottom. At the top. Where's my head at? You start off with, in Kiwi culture, we often speak sarcastically, meaning the opposite of what we say and not saying what we mean. Now, this is a good one for us Kiwis, and it's interesting that you say Kiwi culture, because on some of my chats with Aaron on our Let's Talk segment, we've talked about a lot about Kiwi culture and how we use language, and one of them being, you know, you're all right. I can't even think of the saying.
She'll be right.
She'll be right, mate. You'll be okay. Like, I don't want to say some of it. Toughen up. That was what I was looking for. Toughen up.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people worse off than you. It's not that bad. You know, all the things that kind of lead us away from kind of expressing what's really happening for us and being honest.
Yeah. And so people kind of feel shut down because you're actually diminishing, like they're experiencing something quite real right now, and just by the way that we dismiss it, we're going, actually that's not important, you know.
Yeah.
you should be able to just deal with that yourself, but sometimes we need help
and we need to be able to communicate that too, and be able to speak that out without feeling like there's going to be a repercussion from what we say. We need to be able to speak something without, a judgment attached to it. Would be helpful. But I think that in our culture we've got a lot of kind of hard-nosed ways of responding, which is not really full of empathy, but it's more about, like you say, shutting something off and moving forward without dealing with the problem, or maybe dealing with the issue. And I think that is kind of like our pioneering spirit. We like to go in and kind of take ground, you know.
Yep.
That takes a lot of effort and a lot of tenacity to break hard ground.
Yeah, and when you've got potentially a whole lot of leaders, like people who are strong, whether, you know, a pioneer would be strong or a warrior would be strong, when you've got those sorts of people who actually those roles, like if you're in a position of leadership, it's often a lone kind of position. So you're actually used to shouldering a lot of burden yourself, but actually not everybody's in that place. And so just actually acknowledging where people are at can be really important. I spoke about sarcasm because I think sometimes we say the opposite of what we mean, and when we release words, they have power.
They do.
They have creative power. And so if we're speaking the opposite of what we mean, then sometimes we can get ourselves in a bit of trouble. It's actually more powerful to bring your words into alignment with what your actual intent is. So even just that phrase, yeah, nah. We've sort of moved away from sarcasm with that because we're going, nah, but we actually mean yeah. So now we say yeah, nah, so that we cover the yeah because we meant yeah, but we're saying nah. And other people are listening to us going, what?
Really confused. So was that a yes or a no? And that is the way we can communicate sometimes. It has this double meaning.
Yeah.
Like we didn't give you a definite reply. We gave you maybe an in-between one, which can be quite confusing. You know. And I think we find it hard to encourage as well. That's something in our culture, that tall poppy syndrome. You know, I guess for me, I've always been under the belief you can't over encourage your children, And I'm still under that belief. I think we live in such a negative world that we can't speak well enough into our kids to try and help them see who they are and grow them into healthy human beings. They're going to hear a lot from people out there that tell them, you know, quite the opposite.
Yeah.
So speaking life or speaking health and wellness into people is not our natural way of being, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Denise, I think some people actually find it awkward too to receive encouragement or healthy words.
Yes, and we talk it away, we justify it. So we sort of talked a couple of weeks about sort of manipulation and control, where you feel like you have to justify, you know, I'm sorry I can't come tonight because of this, this and this and this. Mm. You feel like you have to justify when you're saying no, but you also feel like you have to justify if someone says, hey, thanks for doing that. We sort of diminish it because that thought of actually receiving is hard.
It is, actually. Yep. And we need to practice it.
Yeah.
Because it's not natural for us to, we kind of feel awkward. Like, I think, actually, I remember not even knowing what to say.
Mm.
And my first response in my thinking was that they didn't really mean that.
Yep.
So it is quite unnatural for us to receive goodness.
Mm, how amazing is that? Like, that's actually quite tragic when you think about it.
It's very tragic.
To not be able to receive the good.
Yeah.
You will receive the negative. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, they're absolutely spot on with that. But then they say, hey, we really appreciated that. Really?
you don't receive it. And I guess that kind of leads us into our God chats that we head into and in our faith. And I guess that journey for me had a lot of negativity spoken into me as a child, especially in my school environment. I had some bad experiences there. And so when somebody saw something good in me, I really didn't receive that at all. And it wasn't till I came into knowing Jesus and who he was and how he responded in life and to people.
Yeah.
And to people that didn't like him.
Mm.
And to, people that culturally didn't accept him.
Yeah.
It gave me some insight on how to communicate in a different way that wasn't damaging, I guess, for another human being to receive maybe some sense of correction, if that's the right word.
Right.
You know, when you want to say something that maybe you see in another person that isn't a good thing, instead of calling it out and, you know, and nailing the person for what it is that they're doing, it's almost using another language that is less offensive and is more has the ability to communicate a message rather than shut somebody down and go,
That's an interesting one, because when I was young, I had a lot of self-confidence, and I used to go to my friend and I would say, tell me something that you're struggling with about me and I can work on it. And she used to kind of look at me and go, just what weirdo does that? And but I found I was in a really encouraging environment at that time, but when I got older and I wasn't in an encouraging environment and I was pretty much in survival mode, and so you know, if someone wanted to speak into my life and say, hey, this is an area for work, oh my gosh, I couldn't handle it. Mm. I wasn't in a space to take that on. I think now I'm in a bit more of a creative space and I'm really enjoying where I'm at, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm feeling more myself again. And so I'm like, okay, if somebody had something to say, I think I can hear it now a lot more. But there have certainly been times in my life where I wasn't in a place to hear it. So I guess if you're wanting to speak into someone's life, sometimes actually it's not the right timing. They're not in a space they can receive that.
So it's even being sensitive to that. You know, sometimes, like I say, we can be pioneers and we push ahead or we bowl on through thinking we're doing the right thing, but actually we can cause more damage because the person isn't ready to hear something. And so then it's more about us, ourselves, learning to be around that person without going in and destroying what's not ready to be healed.
Yes, and that's so that attitude with which you observe things. So if you observe with an attitude of love towards them, actually wanting to build them up, then you can observe whether or not this is the right time to speak into them. Whereas if you're sort of, oh, I need to say this, that's actually more about you.
Absolutely.
You might feel the relief of dumping something on that person, but what damage have you done in the meantime?
That's an interesting one. I have to be honest here. You know, I just did this the other day. I had this big download that I wanted to say, and something had happened. I'd read something, and it really had upset me. I'm not going to tell you what it's about because I'm not going to. But it really upset me, and it got my everything going, and I'm on my phone and I'm wanting to reply to something I've seen, and then I want to make a text to somebody else, and then I want to explain to another person like how upset I am. And I had all these texts and words ready to go.
Yeah,
I hadn't sent them, they were just all ready loaded to go. And I'm like, I could feel every part of me wanting to just fire this off.
Yeah.
And I had a God moment. And it was kind of like, you know, when God speaks to you, like when another human being speaks to you, you feel offended by, you know, they say, actually, judgment, hello, the plank in your own eye. Like, have you looked at your own life lately?
Yeah.
Like, is there anything in your life that might be pulled out that could look anything like what you're upset about?
Mm.
You know, and straight away I'm back in line going, oh, you know, of course we're all fallible.
Yeah.
And here's one thing that I've learned about somebody or something, and yeah, it's caused all this in me. And in a moment I could have fired off a whole lot of stuff that actually I would have felt damaged by.
Oh,
and
wow.
Not the person, because I actually don't want to respond like that. I want to respond differently.
Okay.
But in my moment of like, I could feel the enemy speaking into me like, go on, do it. Yeah, they need to pay.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, so great for having that pause and actually going,
oh, I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
Because now, further down the track, I'm like, I don't have to carry all of that, what I wanted to say, and then try and repair it or bring all that back into myself. I wished I'd never send it all out there.
Wow.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, it's those God moments where he can speak something in that's not even a language, it's more of just a knowing in that moment. And, you know, and everything drops away and you go, oh, true that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, you know, people often wonder, like, there's God's voice, there's our own voice, there's the voice of the enemy, and how do you know which is which?
Mm.
And actually when God's prompting you with something, and or there's a little thought that you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that, or hey, maybe I need to work on this area, there's never condemnation that comes with it.
No.
If it's God just putting his finger on something, he always puts his finger on something in love.
Yeah.
And so when you know, that's when you know that it's the Holy Spirit prompting you, because it's like, oh wow, and all of a sudden from your own volition you want to improve in this area, and it's there's nothing negative attached to it.
Yeah.
Whereas when it's your own voice, it's like you're saying, oh, I've got all this stuff, I just want to get it out. Or, you know, when the enemy's speaking into something, it will actually be destructive along with it. And so I know a lot, there are a lot of conversations about, well, what does God's voice sound like? Well, God's voice sounds like there's nothing negative associated with it, even whether it's direction or whether it's going, hey, let's not be doing that.
Yeah.
There's,
you don't feel that, like, you don't feel that, like, condemnation. And that's the only word I can come up with, like, you're doing something bad or wrong, or
it's just
that,
hey,
you've been growled at.
Yeah, no.
You
yeah,
know,
that's right.
And being put back into line now.
Yeah.
You don't feel any of that. It's just a very natural, it's just you slip into it naturally and it feels right, like putting on your favourite coat.
Yeah.
You know?
That's peaceful.
It's just right. Yeah. And it does feel peaceful. You're right. That's that peace that we've talked about, that God peace that comes. And I think that is what the point of difference is when we go and we're about to do something that we is coming from a sense of self-righteousness, you know? I'm so right in doing this. Like, dude, you got to pay. I'm going to nail you. I mean, all that language. You know, none of it's going to lead down a road of restoration or healing or being strengthened by our mistakes rather than being taken out and annihilated pretty much. So the point of difference is that peace, that moment that allows us to respond differently than we naturally want to respond, which is pioneering spirit and go in there and battle this out. Get rid of those rocks, those hard edges. So we're gonna head into a song now. This is a good one to go into. We're going to head into Speak Life by Toby Mac.
Some days life feels perfect, other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing, we can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable, broken, live or die. So speak life. Twisted. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. You say, raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Lift your head a little higher. Spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. So speak life.
Welcome to the planet.
welcome to existence. Everyone's here, everyone's here, everybody's watching you now. Everybody waits for you now. What happens next? What happens next? I dare you to move. I dare you to move. I dare you to lift yourself up off the floor. I dare you to move. I dare you to move. Like today never happened. Today never happened before. To the fallout. Welcome to resistance. The tension is here. The tension is here. Between who you are and who you could be. Between how it go. Where you gonna run to now? Salvation is here.
Go. It was Dare to Move. And you're listening to Marie and Denise on Faith Matters 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio. And if you're just tuned in, we're just having God chats now. We started talking about Denise's blog, which is all about Speak Life, which is why we had that first song on. And well, not our first song, but the song about Speak Life, Toby Mac. And if you're ever looking for songs to uplift you, you can always tune in to Faith Matters on Spotify. Just look under Faith Matters, capital F, lowercase, and then a capital M, and then lowercase. And there's a couple of hundred songs on there, so you'd likely to find something that you enjoy. But there you go. But we were talking about some things about speaking life and how our natural way is to probably go in for the jugular.
Jugular?
Go in for the kill. That we're quite pioneers as people in New Zealand, and sometimes we can have a toughen up attitude and move on without really coming from a place of wanting to know more and connecting in relationship with somebody else. And, you know, I was talking about how I wanted to fire off on something the other day, and I didn't because I had a God moment. And part of that God moment that I'm going to speak into, I kind of give you a picture of what that was for me that helped me to connect to maybe thinking about what I wanted to do a bit differently. Because before we went off air, we talked about, you know, the enemy, Denise. Mm-hmm. And I haven't talked about the enemy on Faith Matters before. You know, we've done a lot of God chats and yep. talking about Jesus and Holy Spirit and our experiences. But well, I haven't mentioned the enemy yet. So I thought we'd go there a little bit. Anything you want to speak about that before I head into some sort of little story?
No, I think your story is awesome. Go tell the story.
Tell the story, okay. So what kind of led me into responding differently than I wanted to when I got some information the other day is that I was sitting outside in the sun and this blowfly came in, and it was we've got a clear light over top, and so the sun was pouring in, and so this blowfly had come in, and it was just buzzing round and around and around, and it was I mean, I knew it was up there because it was warm, and so I was looking at it flying around, and then I realized how many cobwebs were around this blowfly and how extremely close this blowfly was coming to these cobwebs. And I said to my husband, "Ooh, that fly is going to get caught any moment." You know, I mean, its wings were touching the webs, and the webs were all around it. And I was like, "Yeah, dude, you're not going to survive this one." And I knew that the blowfly was trying to get where the sun was, and it wanted to be warm. Right, but the closer it got, the more dangerous it was that it was going to get caught in this web. And it suddenly, and then my husband said to me, "Ooh, that spider's just sitting up there, just waiting for that fly to come in, and it's got it, you know." And it really had it from any angle. Mm. It only had a small space it was buzzing around in.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's the enemy. You know, that's what the enemy's like. He just sits and waits. He actually doesn't have to do a lot to take us out. He just waits for the right time.
Yeah.
And he's got all the time in the world. He doesn't care that you're buzzing around in the sunshine having a good time there. He'll just sit up there in the corner and he'll just wait until you're caught in whatever web he has been designing for perhaps a very long time. So I thought, so that made me think, oh my gosh, you know, we have an enemy that prowls around. There's a scriptural base around that Denise will probably bring out. Far better at bringing those things up than me, but they're in me. I just might not get it quite right.
Right, yeah.
I might get part of the scripture, or, you know.
Yes.
Something like that. But we definitely have an enemy, Denise. And so I thought we might talk a little bit about that. Where, I mean, how I might put it, where there is good, there is bad. Where there is dark, there is light. Where there's positive, there's negative. You know, there is, we can't just have one good and then there's nothing else. You know, and so I guess it's something we don't talk a lot about, but I know we experience this every day.
Yeah.
So
what I was thinking before we came in this morning, is it, well, afternoon, is... Jesus talks about I am the gate. And so we think of gates now as like something that you latch and you have a hinge and you sort of pull it open or not. But back in the Middle East a couple of thousand years ago, or you know, even now perhaps still in places like Africa, they have a low wall or maybe a bramble wall that goes around in a circle that you can kind of put your animals into, but then the shepherd actually lies down and sleeps to protect those animals. So the shepherd literally becomes the gate that if any enemy wants to come in and impact those sheep or whatever animals are in there, they have to come through the shepherd. Mm. And so when Jesus talks about I am the gate, he also talks about I am the good shepherd. And so in the Bible it talks about shepherds who neglected their sheep. And so that's a contrast. So there are people who might be in positions of authority or in positions of leadership who don't do well at looking after us. And that's partly what we were talking about before, about, you know, when you're speaking to your kids or speaking to people that you have influence over, like, be speaking life. but then in that same chapter, so this is, if you're wanting to know, find where I'm talking about, there's a book in the Bible called John, and this is in chapter 10. It's an amazing chapter all round. But it talks about how there is a thief, and the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. Mm. But I, the good shepherd, have come that they may have life and life to the full. Mm. And so it also talks about in this chapter that anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. So you've got that concept of the enemy who is actually out to steal, kill, and destroy. So, you know, there is a person of, you're talking about off air, there is a person of, we call the devil, an actual sort of a prideful, he was called Lucifer, he was in the heavenly realms and became prideful and wanted to be worshipped himself. Mm. And so actually he couldn't stay in heaven because he was trying to gather his own
trippers.
So he's, you know, when we talk about the devil or that, the thief or the robber, that is the beginning of that. And
and that's something in our human nature, eh?
Yeah, and so we have that. We can actually partner with what God's doing, which is bringing life, protecting, engaging with people in a really safe way, good way, encouraging them. Or if you go about things another way, not through that gate, then we can be, you know, stealing people's destiny. We can be speaking death instead of speaking life. We can be destroying the purpose that God might have put in them. Or, you know, so we can actually often partner with one or the other. Or sometimes we are just neutral. Sometimes we're just ourselves and just like,
Yeah. You know, I think we need to question ourselves too, is why do we feel uncomfortable when people see good in us?
Mm.
Why does that make us squirm a little bit and make us feel a little bit like, oh, or not believe it? Or why do we are less likely to hear something good and we're more likely to hear what's not good, you know, hear the bad, what, you know, the negative?
Yeah.
You know, it is a human condition. Mm. And I think it's good for us to have awareness around that, because the only way we're ever going to change is by one is having that awareness, being willing to go there and go, well, actually I am quite negative, or yeah, I do see things in quite a judgmental way, or I am quite gnarly in certain areas, you know, and some of those things you might not want to drop off because they're helpful for you, but other things you might want to discover a new way of communicating, and that could bring a real point of difference. So we're going to head into a song. What are we going to head into? Oh, we're going to head into Keep Your Light Shining. I like this one.
Surrounded by cold water that won't let you wander wild and free, lost with no direction. Faith is shaking, feels hard to breathe. You've been having you such a hard time. You had to be strong to get here. Took a long, long time, but you're gonna be alright, alright. Keep your light shining. quiet. Nothing seems to be right. No peace inside. Try to feel that emptiness, the scars of your greenness. No place to hide. You've been having you such a hard time. You had to be strong.
You're listening to Marie and Denise on Faith Matters this afternoon on Raglan Community Radio. So welcome along. We're having an interesting conversation today about speaking life and the fact that you can speak life, but you can also speak the opposite. And so, you know, when we talk about faith in God, we also have the opposite. We also have an enemy who's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And I was just having a look here. There's a verse, a proverb that says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." So when we release stuff with our tongue, we can be speaking life into a situation, or we can be speaking death into a situation. And actually, I mean, we all know what it's like when somebody says something awful to us, and you think of that little proverb that we used to have when we were younger: sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And everybody who has sort of lived and hears that goes, whatever, words actually can really, really hurt.
That's the unseen, eh? Like, words are the emotional abuse rather than the physical abuse. It's the unseen hurt that comes from the impact of how we receive what somebody says to us. And some people can give that impact with glee, like a purposeful to hurt you.
Yeah.
And other people can do it without even knowing that they're doing that. But regardless, the receiver receives the impact of the words, whether they were given knowingly or not.
Mm.
If they were given knowingly, then, you know, then the person who is giving that, you know, they have a lot of stuff to work on, Denise, because when we do something out of intent, there's something behind that that pretty much is enemy territory.
Yeah, and that's where your heart is positioned. So if you're actually intentionally saying stuff that's really awful, you kind of got to go, okay, what's going on in that person? And it's part of what I spoke about in the blog was actually what comes out of your heart overflows out in your words. So you can actually learn a lot about yourself by listening to what you say. But you were just, when we were off air here, there was one little story in the blog that you were talking about that had stood out to you. So did you want to talk about
that? Yeah, it says, I'll read this bit out. And then, you said, a few years ago I was listening to a conversation of a young husband and father who often worked late at hospital and travelled as a speaker. He was explaining how he often prayed protection over his family, but they never seemed to be moving forward, just making do. I asked him if he had thought to speak positive things over his family. He just looked at me and was so focused on warding off anything negative, he hadn't thought of releasing anything good.
Mm.
And it's the releasing of anything good that I really wanted to draw out of that, because even that sentence... for me, feels great.
Yes.
That sentence feels great. He hadn't thought of releasing anything good.
Yeah.
To release something means to open the gate, Denise.
That's cool. You know?
And what are we, you know, when we're opening the gate to release something good, it's healthy and nourishing, and our whole spirit and everything is in agreement with that, and we feel great about it. So there's a real difference there in releasing something rather than
I think a lot of people kind of ask for protection, whether you know whether they are Christ followers or whether they are not. We're often sort of praying or speaking protection over people or over ourselves, you know, give us safe travel or whatever it might be. But actually taking it that step further and thinking, what do I need in this situation? So I've got a massive decision to make. God, please give me wisdom so I make a wise decision. Or, you know, if you're in a position where you are making a decision that impacts other people too, like how awesome to be able to ask for guidance, ask for wisdom, or over your family. You know, if you've got a family that's really divided and it's a broken family, well, rather than just asking, you know, stop us from being divided, well, bring unity, bring love, bring healing, bring reconciliation, bring restoration, like all those good things.
Nourishing words.
Give us patience for each other. Give us kindness.
Fruits of the Spirit that we talked about last week. Yeah, so those are kind of cornerstone ways of trying to find a different way to respond, like when we've just got our natural way, which is to often not encourage. We don't tend to lift others up, and when we do, it can feel awkward and weird. unless we're at some big thing where somebody's getting honoured, where it's all okay to do it then.
But see, even in New Zealand, we don't do that particularly well, do we?
No,
like,
we don't.
I've been to some conferences and things in other places, and it's like, okay, we're just going to take a moment and honour this person. And my Kiwiness goes, oh, really?
Do I have to? Right now, I'm sure it's toilet break.
But it doesn't sit well with us. And what is with it? I don't know.
I think because we're so empty, Denise, we haven't been filled enough ourselves to give out of the overflow.
Yeah.
I think we are a starving nation when it comes to seeing who we are and the goodness of what we've got and responding out of places that are nourishing words that give life. I think, we've come through some hard things in New Zealand, which has made us a little bit, I can't think of the word.
But how do we, so if we're empty, how do we fill up? A thought that's come to mind just now is often when we actually help somebody else, the satisfaction that we feel from knowing that, you know, it doesn't necessarily, that person may not realise and they may never say thank you, but the satisfaction that you feel yourself when you go, actually, I really made a difference there. Something like that can be really healing.
I so agree on that. Coming from a place, from my upbringing, you know, when you've been caring for yourself, right, and the world's a dangerous place, and the only person you can rely on is yourself, you know, we do become pretty self-centered because we have to. You know, and so to learn a different way, it was a learning curve for me to not be thinking about how to protect myself and that the world's a dangerous place, and to let people in enough was to soften my heart, you know, and we talked a little bit about that last week, you know, that was a quite a journey for me to get to a place of feeling. But we can't know God without feeling.
Right.
You know, and so it's not going to work if you close down that part of us that has got the nourishment in it, which still holds belief in mankind. Still holds some hope and faith and some sense of excitement for the future.
Yeah.
You know.
Interesting. There's a couple of days ago, I was walking the dog and there was somebody coming out of their driveway with their dog, and their dog, to me, who's not really a doggy person, just looked a little bit intimidating, although it was very peaceful and calm when it was with its owner. I'd heard it bark a couple of times, so I kind of went, "Ah, it's that dog." But, you know, barking dogs are just barking and saying hi. They're not growling dogs.
Yeah.
But having been scared of dogs as a child, I'm like, I'm always on alert. But anyway, I walked around the corner, so I'd seen this person coming out with their dog, and they were just waited for me to go past, and they were very friendly, and it was all fine. When I got around the corner, I saw a young mum coming with her son in a pushchair, and she had a coffee in her hand. She was happy as, marching down towards this corner. And in my mind, I wanted to say, "Watch out around the corner, there's this dog. There's nothing wrong with this dog whatsoever," but my own experience of freaking out with dogs, I really wanted to warn her. But I made myself keep my mouth shut because I've kind of observed, you know, sort of people that you, they get involved, they see something and they just say something. You think, oh, it's being a bit of a busybody, you probably didn't need to say anything there. I was just trying to talk myself through this. So this lady, I just let her with her son walk around the corner, and I did not hear any barking from the dog. I didn't hear, there was no altercation, there was nothing, like it was fine. And so sometimes actually just holding our tongue, you know, I could have warned her and I could have made it a big scary thing and it was nothing. And so sometimes we actually just need to go, you know what, I'm just not going to say anything here, because what we want to say is not necessarily going to help the situation at all either.
Yeah, and it's coming from your experience and not her experience. So these, you know, the things that we get frightened of, or that we can, and even that, like we say, the enemy can come in and make bigger, like our fears and our concerns. And look, you know, I had a massive car accident a few years ago, and, you know, ever since then I've always, you know, when I'm being a passenger in the car and anything that gets a little bit nervous in the car, I'm like, I'm a catastrophizer. I can see the accident happen. I'm already in my coffin. You know what I mean?
I'm thankful that you're not. But
it's happened before my eyes. I can see everything.
Yeah. You know, and so we do. We jump there.
I'm absolutely in terror. My whole body is in terror. And it's really hard to fight that. To not grab the steering wheel and cause an accident that didn't need to be.
And so that speaking life, sometimes it's actually just not speaking the negative.
Yeah, well, or having a good husband who can talk you down a little bit and say, tell you, it's calm, it's safe, it's fine, we're good, just settle. But, you know, experiences in life will, you know, things that have happened to us, we will respond from that place in a moment.
Yeah.
If we haven't learnt how to leave a gap. Mm. And how do we do that? Like, for me, like wanting to respond like I did to what I found out the other day about somebody, and wanting to respond quite negatively, I think I've come in far enough in my journey now to realize, it doesn't take me long to realize I don't want to go that way.
Yeah.
You know, that it feels yuck. Mm. And I know the outcome is not going to leave me feeling good. Mm. I don't like what this person has done, and I think it's really sad and all of that, but it's not my journey. It's not my life.
Yeah.
You know, I've got enough problems of my own. I've got enough burdens to carry.
Yeah.
I don't need to be carrying somebody else's faith burdens.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes I think that we can all get lumbered in the same box sometimes, you know, when somebody does something wrong, and because it was a Christian thing, and then we get, you know, people going, oh, typical.
Mm.
And so that's very distressing for me when things become public and you feel like you have to defend your faith again.
Yeah.
Against our humanness. And I just wish people would get it, that we're just human, and being a Christian does not make us angelic or something, or holy, or somehow Jesus. Suddenly we become Jesus walking the earth with all the right answers. And
that's what I loved a few weeks ago when I looked at that prophecy that had been released here in New Zealand before Captain Cook landed, with, what's his name, Toiroa, I think was his name.
Yes.
And it was, the name of their god, his son who was killed, he is a good god, but the people will still be oppressed. Mm. So, yes, as people we stuff up, but that doesn't define who God is.
No.
And sometimes when we do realise that we've stuffed up, it's really important. I mean, it's important every time we realise we stuff up to actually say sorry if we have the opportunity to, and try and put things right. But that doesn't always stop the impact of whatever we've said or whatever we've done.
That's right.
So awesome for you to have paused before you sent that stuff, because you could have gone, oh, look, I'm really sorry, I shouldn't have sent that. But how much better to not have to do that?
It's so much better. And look, normally my knee-jerk reaction would be to respond. Like most people, I think, when we get offended or we feel like that really not good at all. Not having that.
Yeah.
Or I knew that.
Yeah.
And then we want to justify what we're doing. But actually our development comes from self. From what we know about Jesus and how he would respond to another person. And, you know, years ago there used to be this, used to be able to buy bracelets with, what would Jesus do?
WWJD.
Yeah. What would Jesus do? And it became a catchphrase around the 70s, I think. Like, what would Jesus do?
Yeah, well, even more recent than that.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe it did become that sarcastic way we looked at it too. Like, oh, what would Jesus do? We became sarcastic with that response as well. Mm. So it was a double-edged sword in some ways.
Mm.
But, you know, it's not so bad to go back to that, what would Jesus do? Because sometimes we get ripped off the full effect of what those words mean because they have been sarcastically used and so they become less of an impact. But if we really truly ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? And if you knew who Jesus was and how he responded to people, then it would give us a good, clear pathway that might be quite opposite.
Yeah. Well, see, he might be in the middle of something and people would come to him with a need. And the Bible talks about how he was deeply moved with compassion, and he would stop what he was doing and he would, you know, put time into them and sometimes heal them or speak life into them. He'd say, you know, your sins are forgiven, go.
Yeah.
But one thing you were saying earlier today, something about the thought that came to mind was when we react, like we're like, ah, that's wrong. Well, but we sort of are doing exactly what this other person was doing. And so that concept of judgment, like I know as far as praying for things, sometimes we want to pray judgment over a person or judgment into a situation. God, judge them, smite them. But actually, what we have to be really careful of there is where that is reflected in us, where our heart's in the wrong place. Yeah, and so often what we really need to be doing is asking for mercy. Yeah. Lord, you know, bring your love, your perspective into the situation, and I'm sorry for my part too.
To step me back and step you forward.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need to do that in our humanness, is step our humanness back.
Yeah.
And our spirit forward, you know, that connection with God that tells us a different story than the one we're trying to tell ourselves, which is quite destructive in our lives and gives us quite a gnarly view of everything. And we can become quite opinionated and narrow-visioned, and we can't accept other people's point of views, and we close down. So the pathway there is kind of cold and jagged edges, Denise. You know, that's not a pathway that I certainly would want to be on.
But that's the one, that's the pathway where you don't have the heart behind it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when you're not actually being compassionate or showing love or concern. That's when it's actually becomes all about me.
I wonder, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. What do you know the passage that's from? I
thought Galatians 5:22-23.
There we go. I just wanted to say that before we head into a song. It is.
Let me bring it up.
Because I think, I don't know, you know, if anyone's
really
listening out there, but if you are, if you are, by any chance, and you don't have a Bible, where can a person get a Bible these days, Denise, without having to go to the bookshop
online
and buy it?
Honestly, they're everywhere.
Yeah, and you can Google, what is it, Galatians?
So, Galatians 5:22-23.
Even if you just Google Galatians.
Or even if you just Google the fruit of the Spirit, it
will
come up.
Well, there you go. Google will give you anything. That's a good blessing about one thing about our phones is that we can, at a touch, get scripture or get God's word. So you could look up the fruits of the Spirit on your Google app and have a look. Have a look at what God offers us.
Yeah, that's actually really cool. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But it goes on to say, against such things there is no law. And so that's the cool thing, like actually speaking life and speaking.
There's no law against
these
it.
Things.
It
no
so
one can
cool.
really have a problem with it. Cause
wow, you're not going to end up in jail.
Yay!
Just because you spoke life into someone. That's pretty cool. Okay. Let's go into Never Too Late by Nathan King.
Caught in the middle now, when I should have gone around. You'd have thought I could read the signs. I put up some kind of fight. Now I can't go left or right. No, I can't go left or right. I'm trapped in a shrinking room. For me soon, when the doors lock, I know you said, take the window out instead. But I struggle even then. Yeah, I struggle even then. But I know it's never too. It gets too
could believe. It's too late now, too late now. Even when it gets too close to call, it's never too late
now. Oh, it's never too late, never too late at all. We've got all the time in the world, Denise, don't we? Do we?
Sounds great.
Tell me we do. Give me some hope. Look, hey, if you want to connect into some of Denise's blogs and hear about what she's talking about, the last one that she's done is called Speak Life. You can click into her website on Denise, denise.nz, and that will take you through to the Facebook page. I would encourage you to subscribe. Or is that how you do it, or you just...
Yeah, you can subscribe on the website, and then I send the blog to you in your email, or you can find it on the website, or you can go through to Facebook, whichever works for you.
Or if you want to know more about our God chats, you can click into the podcasts on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM. You'll find us on the website under Faith Matters. So we're just about ready to wrap up our session. We've been talking about Speak Life and the words that we use, and whether they are leading us into discovering more about ourselves and life, or whether they are leading to a place of negativity and maybe death even over us, Denise. Mm-hmm. And I know that your blog talks a lot about that, and I'm a huge one for language and how that affects us. And I do believe that we could do with a lot more encouragement and seeing the good in who we are. Would be so much more relief in that, really.
Yeah.
We really need it. I feel like sometimes in New Zealand we're kind of like plants reaching for the sun, you know, they're just not getting enough water, not quite getting enough feeding, you know, and we're struggling away in this ground, you know, trying to find the sunlight, trying to find the water, and somebody's sprinkling a little bit on and giving us a little bit, but we're not flourishing.
Wow.
You know, and especially, I think, you know, I'd like to talk about, you know, as a person of faith, I'd love to see that flourish more, so that we would hear these words of life and we would understand that there is a point of difference in our faith.
So if you've got someone around you maybe who's stepping out and doing something new and needs encouragement, like maybe you can be the one who can actually be pouring the water onto their roots. Support them.
What a good feeling. What are we? And you got to question, why are we afraid of good feelings? We really do need to question this stuff. Why do we turn away from goodness? It's almost like we've set ourselves up to believe that goodness means we have to give something away. We have to stop being human.
Right.
You know? And really, it's about our self-development. And it can take a whole lifetime to develop ourselves. It's not this instant kind of recipe that we put together and suddenly we've got a beautiful cake, let's eat it and we'll be happy. Done deal.
Well, the thing too is, where are you getting, like, what are you speaking from? So you talked before about, are you speaking out of the overflow? And I think sometimes when we think of ourselves as a bucket, we've only got so much water to give out. And so we can give out this much encouragement, but then actually now we're exhausted, or we're pouring our lives out at work or to our family, and actually we need some space and some downtime, which absolutely we do. We need to be looking after ourselves. But what if our source for those words is not ourselves? What if instead of being a bucket, we are actually a pipe like a downpipe.
Nice.
And there's actually, you know, the fruit of the spirit we're talking about, it's not from us. And I can tell you firsthand, I am not a very loving, compassionate person. All of my friends know this. And so when something happens, like, I'd really try to be there for them. And they appreciate my attempts. But, like, I'm just not that natural helper, supporter type. I'm just not.
Yeah.
But I have found profound times where I have been doing something and I just feel this incredible love for the person and I'm like, that is not me. And I know it's not me.
Yeah.
And the way that I think of that, the way I picture that, is like being like a downpipe that's sort of an L shape, sort of down and out. And I feel like it's God pouring his love for that person through me.
Wow, that's so good.
And
yeah.
So, like,
I get that
when we are trying to encourage people, it's not just us trying to do it. Like, you don't have to do it on your own. And that's where that relationship with God is so important, because he is endless. He has all the resources right throughout the entire universe and more. And he can just pour, because he's wanting to encourage and build people up and see them flourish and see them fulfill their purpose. And he can work through us to encourage them into that. And so, yeah, so be encouraged and try, like, start, or maybe you are a bucket, but turn the tap on so that you're having some inflow as well, and then you can pour out of that into the lives of others.
There we go. We need a downpipe. Okay, so just be thinking about that when you are wondering where the source is going to come from of encouragement that I don't have for this person. Connect in. That's about relationship, eh? That's what we do have. That's the point of difference in our faith, is that we have this relationship and there is this endless supply that's far beyond our capacity even is to think about how much we can get from this. Like, it's far more than we can even imagine. The nourishment and the goodness. We only have to look at the planet Earth, how nourishing this place is before we destroyed it. But you know what I mean? Before we came along. But how nourishing is this place? Mm. It is self-sustaining.
Yes.
It's an incredible creation.
Yeah.
Can't get away from that. I'm in awe of what God created and how this works and down to the finest detail.
Yeah.
And it's mind-boggling. And I get a huge encouragement from that, yeah.
Yeah, well, he is the author of life, right? So when God is speaking through us, he is speaking life. So what we're doing is what we're partnering with what he's doing, which in itself gives you incredible fulfillment, because whatever you're, if you're speaking life, it's going to be lasting.
It comes alongside, and it's like, it's almost, and I know we might end with this kind of picture to give you, it's almost like we're all different streams, little streams, and we're moving along, and then we hit the main river, and it's like you're in that flow, and it feels amazing, because there's no resistance, and you're all moving together, and it's massive, and you know, we all know that water gives life. So it's a great metaphor to leave with. So yeah, thank you for joining us. Thanks, Denise, and coming in and chatting with me, and me chatting with you.
chatting with each other
about God, and having some God chats is very healthy for us to look at you know, what would Jesus do? And if you know him and if you know his nature, then you might be really wanting to look at that right now and look at the fruits of the Spirit. What's opposite to how I normally respond? You don't want to be the spider in the corner waiting for that blowfly. And if you don't understand what that means, you're going to have to listen back to the podcast, because, you know, that's where the story is. So we're gonna head out with blessing. But before I go, you know, if you're on a faith journey and you're wondering about these conversations that we have every week here on Raglan Community Radio at from 12 to 1:30 every Friday, these conversations go well beyond here. They move into our Sunday conversations, which is at church, and our church is at Raglan Area School. It's not, you know, it's in the hall there. We've got an incredible worship team, which is live music, for you to be able to make those connections to God, to Holy Spirit and Jesus and each other. We have an incredible word. And when I say that, Denise, what is a word?
I just
put you on the spot there. I thought, well, I say this every week. We're getting a great word coming from Pastor Roger. You know, for a lot of people, they might, well, what do you mean a word? You know, we use this language. So maybe just wrap that a little bit up for me.
Yeah, so there's two aspects to it, I guess. We take a passage out of the Bible. So the Bible is the word of God, and so we're bringing the word of God to people. But then we're only taking a little bit at a time. And so, you know, whoever's up there teaching or preaching is wanting to maybe unpack a little bit of the meaning or maybe be encouraging, you know. And often what you might find is that they say something and you have that little Holy Spirit nudge like we were talking about before, that you're like, oh, man, that's something that's going on in my life. And the person who's speaking would have no idea, but yet God uses what they prepare and what they bring to speak into different situations and the different people that are there, or the different people who hear it. So even if you're not able to be there on a Sunday morning, we have surfside.co.nz. The preaching part is online each week afterwards, so you can tune in and sort of listen to that if you're a bit freaked out about coming into the building and thinking, what are all these people doing and
what's going on in here? I feel something. It feels, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Overwhelming.
Yeah, but we do. And then at the end, there's often opportunity for prayer.
Yeah, which, wow, where do we get that anywhere, Denise? Where do we get to have people pray goodness into our life or healing or to have somebody else show compassion for our situation or encourage us, you know? And that prayer is all about connection and being in a space that isn't our natural space, where God can work and pour into us, like the downpipe that you're talking about, you know, it's just an open downpipe. Great place to be. Raglan Area School, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. Great worship, great word. Now you know a little bit of what the word means. And ministry time, which is prayer. And awesome Raglan roast. Don't forget that. We have we have great hospitality there. And you're going to meet people from your community too. So that's always going to do us well. Because we're all growing together. We're all moving in that stream and coming into the river together. And I can't wait until that river is a roaring, what do you call it, waterfall.
Ooh.
Okay. Amen to that. Enjoy the blessing. Have a great week, everybody. Great weekend. Look after yourself and others. Be kind and gentle. And maybe look up those fruits of the Spirit, because they're going to put you in a really good place for going forward and making a point of difference in your own life.
Know that you're a blessing. There's no other like you. Know that you were made for much more. Don't let this world tell you who you are.
I thank the Lord because I'm breathing today. Enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. For those of you in a pit who are struggling deep within, all the challenges are like the daily trials and the tribulations. Just know behind the scenes, you know my God is working. You might only see the pain, but there's something greater in the making. All things work together for his good. Understood, understand that life has purpose. There's meaning to the way that you are. Greater than stars, your heart was meant to be soft. You have me marked, set apart. Ignite a spark, light it up, shine your light on the darkest places, saddest faces. Hey, we miss the mark every day, but there's something called grace that's giving us a way. We miss the mark every day, but there's something called grace that's giving us a way. So,
know that you're a blessing, there's no other like you. Know that you were made for much more, don't let this world take.
Life can get you down, but I know who can save us. You're a light for all to see. Today is a new day.
not in this alone. Help is on the way. Reach out, don't be afraid. Speak out, don't run away. I know that when we pray, He is faithful. There's no mistake in all His making. Just know that you're a blessing. In Jesus, you're a blessing.
Take my hand, we'll make